Well, hello and welcome again to LifePoint Church. Thank you so much for being a part of our service today. And of course, we are an online church currently. And I want to say welcome to everybody who is watching literally on thousands of devices right now. And so normally we're one church in about 10 different locations or venues or services, but currently we're watching in cities, states, and literally countries all over the world. And thank you so much for being a part of our online church experience. In fact, if you would, do me a favor right now, before we go any further, wherever you're watching from, copy the link in your browser or share it from Facebook or social media and get this link out to as many people as possible. Last Sunday, we had our record online attendance, and I believe we can even do better than that this week. Our hope in this is to get the good news out to as many people as possible. So welcome again, and thanks for being a part of our online service. Hey, if today is your first time joining us or connecting with us online, I want to give you a simple next step. Below on the screen is a number for you to text, and if you would just text the word connect to that five-digit number, we will follow up with you with some very simple next steps, and we'd love to just get in touch with you and say, hey, thank you for watching. Here's some simple next steps. In fact, I want to tell everybody in our church, the next step for you, your next step is to join one of our life groups. In fact, all of our groups have been reopened and all of them are available again on our website, so lifepointchurch.tv/groups. And all of them are now meeting digitally. So there's room for you, and you don't have to worry about your kids or somebody's basement or whether or not they have a cat in the living room. God forbid, we don't want to go to that group anyway. I'm just kidding, cat lovers. Listen, everybody get on our webpage and join one of our online groups. Zoom is hosting so many of these. FaceTime is hosting so many of these. And we are so excited. We're asking all of our leaders, and our global leaders are asking everyone to stay physically separated. But we believe as people of God that we are supposed to stay socially connected. And so our life groups are a way for you to do that. Hey, so today I'm really excited. We are back in the book of Galatians, and I have been really anxious to get back here. We took a two-week break because of everything related to the coronavirus, but we are back in the book of Galatians. So since you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Now, we've taken a couple weeks off, but we're jumping right back in where we left off, and Paul has been writing this letter to the Galatian Christians to remind them and to teach them that they are not saved by their works, religion doesn't please God any more than what Jesus did for them, and that we are people of faith. So even though we've had these couple weeks off related to this COVID-19, it's impacting so many places in the world, we are back in Galatians chapter 3. Now, as we've jumped back in, I'm trying to make sure that this text is relatable to everything happening for us. In fact, it seems that the circumstances related to COVID-19 have just impacted everything in our world, right? From physical problems to financial to political, sociological, even when it comes to spiritual. I mean, spiritual people all over the world are trying to reconfigure how they meet, how they get information out, and how they preach and pray and share the gospel with one another. Well, I want to bring us back to Galatians, and I want to help us with one major idea throughout this sermon. Since you're taking notes, go ahead and write this thought down. As we look to the next passage in Galatians 3, we're going to look at one main idea that we'll continue to deal with throughout this whole chapter. It actually speaks incredibly well to the season that we're in, living in the middle of, and then later in the aftermath of everything related to this COVID-19 coronavirus. If you're taking notes, write this down. God is a promise maker, so God is a promise keeper. Let me say that one more time. I want you to write it down. God is a promise maker, so God is a promise keeper. In fact, I titled the message, We Are People of Promise, right? And so Paul is making this shift in the letter to Galatians that's all about promise. And I think this is a time now more than ever that we need to decide that we're going to believe the promises that God has made. Hey, so let me ask you this question. Have you ever had somebody break a promise in your life? I know I have. I'm sure you have. Have you ever broken a promise in someone, to someone else, or in somebody else's life? I know I have. I'm sure you have too. I'll tell you a quick story about that for me. About 7 or 8 years ago, Stephanie and I had three girls at the time, and Hallie, our youngest, was just a 1 or 2 year old little baby, and we needed a different van. We had an old, it was our first minivan that we got, and it was old school with a VHS player. I mean, it was from, I think, the late 90s, and this is about 2012 or so. And it was time for us to upgrade her van. And so we had saved for a long time because we believe as often as you can, we're going to pay cash for a vehicle, right? So we had saved for a long time and we looked all over the local dealerships and internet and everywhere we could find it to find a van. And finally, we found a van that fit our cash budget. Now we're going to trade in the old van and bring it in cash. And so I had an exact dollar amount and I could not go over that because I didn't have more. I hadn't saved any more than that, but it was a pretty significant amount that we had worked really hard to save. So we looked and looked and finally found the van that was going to work for us. It was at a dealership, a used dealership in Nashville. And so I called the place, I talked to the salesman, I told him what I was looking for, I told him about our family size, and I said, we need another van, something newer, something nicer. It was a Dodge van that was available with two screens and a DVD player. Man, we were so excited. And so I told the guy, as we're talking, he sent me more pictures, we're texting back and forth for a whole day. And I told him, I said, look, I'm gonna trade in my vehicle, and I'm gonna bring in this amount of cash, and that is it. I cannot spend any more than what I'm bringing. So I need to know that I can pay out the door, tax, title, license, transfer, all that kind of stuff at this cash amount, and I'm gonna bring it in $100 bills. I wanted to go old school, just bring $100 bills and pay for this van. He agreed. I had a text, we all agreed, and he said, absolutely, bring your van, bring your cash, van is yours, no problem, out the door at this price. So we get down there. We test drive the van, that was the prerequisite. As long as Stephanie liked it and it was good for our family, we're all good. We've agreed on the price out the door with the trade-in of my old van. Get to the place. We drive it. It's awesome. Stephanie loves it. The girls are excited. They see two screens. They actually put a DVD for the first time ever in our van. It was amazing. So I tell the guy, I said, okay, let's go and do the paperwork. He's like, right away, Mr. Burnett, come on in. We got you all worked up. Paperwork's already started. We go back in his office. Steph, I said, go ahead and move our car seats over. Transfer everything from the old van to the new van. And so they're doing all that. They're waiting in the parking lot. It's evening time. They're watching a movie, kicked back. They even brought popcorn out to our girls, I think, to just let them enjoy this experience a little bit more. And then when the cash deal came out, he says, he gives me the paperwork, and I pull out in an envelope my stack of $100 bills, right? Because I was so excited to just pay for a van, cash money. Dave Ramsey would be so proud. And he looks at me and he's like, man, I know I told you this price on the phone, but I'm actually gonna need another $4,500 to make this deal go through. And I just looked at him, kind of dumbfounded, and I go, yeah, but we agreed to this price with my trade-in, out the door, tax, title, license, and everything. And he said, I know that I said that, but I'm just not gonna be able to do that, and I need you to come up with $4,500 more. And I just looked at him and I said, but you said, and I repeated myself again, I showed him the text message where he said to me this deal was gonna work, and the whole thing fell apart. Needless to say, he then offers financing. He goes, hey, you can finance that right here for 36 months, yada, yada. And my inner Dave Ramsey's going, I can't do that, I'm not going to. But more than anything, I was super upset because the guy broke his promise to me. And he told me one thing and he did another. And I was very frustrated. In fact, I remember, this is just confession of a pastor, right? It's in my basement. I could tell you what I want. I was so angry. Like, I was so angry. I physically wanted to come at this guy. I was just so mad. That was a real confession. This is a long time ago. God's forgiven me. Don't judge me. But I was so mad. And so my kids are sitting out in the other van in the parking lot, and they're watching a movie. They're kicked back with snacks. And I had to go out there and tell them, girls, I'm sorry. Please get out of the van. Let's go get back in our other van with our VHS video of whatever, Dora or something like that. And let's drive home in our old van. Man, our whole family was disappointed. I was extremely bothered. I was extremely upset. And the biggest reason is because this guy broke his word. He broke his promise. He made a promise. I had it in print. And he went back on his word. I don't know about you, but that is like one of the cardinal sins in my life. I cannot stand when promises are broken. Can anybody else understand what I'm saying and agree with me on that? Can I hear a big amen? Just hit a bunch of hearts and likes. Come on, somebody. Now, I want you to think about the season that we're in. And I want you to think about what we're living through and the idea that this is not the year we thought we were gonna have, right? I mean, how many of us started out 2020 and it was just so promising? We were all sharing memes about this new decade and we're back in the roaring 20s and we were all saying 2019 be like dot, 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 and it'd be some old scraggly picture, and then 2020 be like, and we're all blinged out and we're having a great decade. I don't know about you, but this is not the year that I started out believing that I was gonna have. You remember all your New Year's resolutions? You remember starting the year thinking, this is gonna be my decade. Thinking we'd be spending the days just differently. And here we are in isolation. here we are, and the world seems to be falling completely apart. We're watching the news as it talks about a deadly worldwide pandemic. We're hearing percentages of how many people are gonna get the virus and what may happen. We're hearing just catastrophic stories about how the money is gonna do during this year, and it's not growing the way that we probably had thought it was going to or had promised ourselves that it would. Maybe you hadn't figured out other things in your life, and here you are in March of 2020, and a relationship that you thought was going one way, it's just not panning out the way you thought it would. Or perhaps your health is going a different direction than you thought this year would start out for you. So let me just ask you this question. What do you do when you feel let down on promises? What do you feel when the world around you seems to be letting you down? What do you do when you feel as if God has let you down? Now that's a really troubling question because it assumes that that actually happens. We're gonna clarify that in just a moment. But what do you do when it seems like what you are going to experience is just not what you are experiencing? How do you believe correctly through those times? How do you believe when you don't experience what you hoped would have happened? Well, for starters, I wanna tell you that who you believe will determine what you believe. Did you hear what I just said? Who you believe will determine what you believe. And I choose to believe what God says. I choose to believe the word of God over the words of every other person right now. Especially, I just want to believe this more, right? Who you believe determines what you believe. And how you view what's happening will determine what you do in times like this. So I want us to look at Galatians 3. Now it seems like it may not be a very fitting passage of scripture for what's going on in the world around us, but I promise you, if you'll stay with me till the end, I'm gonna show you where God proves himself to be a God of promise and a God of goodness. In fact, as we look at Galatians 3, really we're gonna see a character trait that's in God that honestly should bring us more hope than ever about who God is, about how God is wired, and should bring us a lot more hope related to how we can trust God in times like this. You may have had others break a promise in your life before, but you're gonna see that God is a promise maker, which means God is a promise keeper. In fact, you'll never find a time when God broke a promise for you. So the first thing I want us to look at as we get back into Galatians, and we're gonna start in chapter 3 in verse 10. First thing we're gonna see is Christ fulfills a big promise from a big God. Now let me remind you, Paul had written this letter to Galatian Christians who thought they had to earn their way to God by behaving right, keeping certain diets, certain religious festivals, and they were struggling to believe the right things about God. They believed that God saved them through faith, but they had to stay saved through their hustle, through their religion, through their efforts, and that somehow that would please God. So we've established many times in this series, God doesn't require more of you, that you keep a bunch of rules, but that he tells you that we live and operate in faith, by faith in Jesus, and that we live our lives not to earn God's love, but because God loves us and he's for us, right? Okay, so pick up with me in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 3. He says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse." Now, did you hear what he just said? Every one of you, every one of me and us that is relying on the works of the law to please God and to bless God and to make us saved, you're actually under a curse. For it is written, the Bible says, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." So if you're gonna be a law person, Paul's saying, he's reminding them the law doesn't save us, it doesn't make us holy. And if you refuse to believe that, he's saying, and if you're continuing to believe on your rules and your effort and the law trying to save you, you better make sure you keep the whole law. In other words, if there's 630 laws in the Old Testament, right? And you're only keeping 600 of them, those 30 will get you in trouble, right? If you break 30 of them, you can't pick and choose which laws you like and you can't keep most of them and skip out on some of them and still be okay. So Paul's saying, if you're gonna rely on the works of the law, you better keep all of it. If you're gonna be a religious person, you gotta keep all the religious rules, keep all the law, which is pretty much impossible, right? I mean, if you think about it, most of the time, people that are like in jail or prison, they're there for breaking one, two, or three laws. They're not there because they broke all the laws. In fact, they very well may have kept all the other laws of our land, but it's the one or two or three that they did break that cost them their freedom. And that's what Paul's telling us here. If you're gonna keep the law, you gotta keep it all, or else you're actually accountable for all of it. He goes on in verse 11, look at this. "Now, it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." So we've talked about this a lot. No one is saved by keeping all the rules. but righteous people live by faith in Jesus, and they live in response to Jesus. We're going to get back to what's happening around us in just a minute, but just, we're getting there. Stay with me. But he says in verse 12, the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them, the laws, shall live by them. If you're going to be a law person, if you're going to be a religious person, if you're going to be a rules person, you got to keep all the rules, all the law, all the time. But again, it's impossible. So here's the way out. This is where Jesus fulfills a big promise that God made. And remember, back a couple weeks ago, we talked about this. God made this amazing promise to Abraham, right? And he said that through the seed of Abraham, through the offspring of Abraham, all the nations of the world can be blessed into relationship with God. So watch this, how Christ answers that promise from God. In verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Notice what he said. Remember before he said, cursed is anyone who's trying to keep all the law. And now he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse that the law brings on us. Like, because we'll never keep it. If we're trying to get saved by the law, we'll never keep all the law. We're cursed by that, trying to keep it that way. He said, Christ redeemed us from that curse. He redeemed, that means he exchanged us. He set us free from that by becoming a curse for us. And how did he do that? Well, it says, for it's written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Like in the Old Testament, it was a curse. You were cursed by God if you were found hung in a tree, right? And he was hung on a cross. He said, so that in Christ, everybody just say it for me, say in Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to us, the Gentiles, unbelievers, people outside of the family of faith, so that we might receive the promised Spirit, the Spirit of God, through faith. Man, this passage is so powerful. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by rules. In fact, keeping the rules is a curse, right? And all of us have felt that way before. And Jesus freed us from that curse, so that he kept all the rules for us, and then he died on a cross in our place, and he took all of the curse and the requirement of keeping all the law so that we can what? In Christ now, we receive the blessing of Abraham coming into our lives, which is what? The blessing of Abraham. Here's the promise that God made. Remember, Jesus fulfills this huge promise that God made, that in the seed or the offspring of Abraham, all of us can be blessed with relationship and intimacy and fellowship with God again. That means we're the family of God. That means we're sons and daughters. We're family first because we believe in Jesus, not because we followed rules from Moses. And look, here's the promise. By faith in Jesus, we receive the Spirit of God in us. Now that is so powerful, especially in a day like today. God made us a promise. Are you ready? He promised that his Son would live and die for us, taking all of the expectation of the law on his own self, so that we can know God, be set free from religion and fear and oppression and pressure. And look, he adds this amazing layer. You ready? Watch. He said, God promised that Jesus would take this curse for us. And then God promised that his own Spirit would live in us through this faith. Are you kidding me? I mean, what an incredible promise in a time like today, when everything around us seems to be falling apart. People are saying the sky's falling and everyone's gonna get sick. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us, dwells on the inside of us. He's taken up residence in us. John 14 said that the Spirit of God will live in us and dwell in us. God promised that his Spirit would live in us. And remember what I said, God is a promise maker, which means God is a promise keeper, and how you view God will change how you view what's happening around the world. Look, the world may say we're all on our own, life's falling apart, but God said, I'm gonna put my Spirit in my people. I'm gonna put my Holy Spirit, he says, in you. And that should build your faith and confidence more than anything. And if God promised his very own self would live in us and with us, you can rest assured that if God promised it, that promise is gonna come true. Now, what does that have to do with where we're living now? I mean, how does that passage in Galatians jump into week 3 of Corona crisis, right? I want you to be encouraged in this very unsettling time. Hear me when I say this, by no effort on your own. You don't need to pray harder. You don't need to beg God or force God to do anything. By no effort on your own, God has already promised you, if you believe in Christ, if you have said, yes, I believe Jesus died for me, and he rose from the dead for me. If you believe that, you have already received the Spirit of God living on the inside of you because you believe in Christ. The hope you need, the faith you desire, the courage you need to face crazy times like the ones we're living in, you can face it because God made a promise that His Spirit is in you. Why would you ever fear? If you know that God is living on the inside of you, why would you be anxious? Why would you be worrisome? I'm not telling you not to be smart. I'm saying be full of faith that the God who created everything is living on the inside of you. That's an amazing promise from an amazing promise keeper. Now, I want to give you a second thought, and then we're going to close out, and I'm about to get my preach on. So I need all y'all who know how to shout me down on a Sunday to get ready in your living rooms because I'm about to bring it. But the second thought I want to give you, God's promises are way bigger than anything else that we face, including the rules we're trying to keep to make God do stuff for us. Watch this. In verse 15, he goes on to say, let me give you a human example. Brothers, even when with a man-made covenant, like a promise between two people, like I'm going to sell you a van at this price. He said, no one annuls it except for that guy in Nashville or adds to it once it's been ratified except for that guy. I'm not going to say his name or the name of the place. I'm just saying some people do that. Anyway, verse 16, here we go. Now the promises from God were made to Abraham and his offspring. Now right there when you read that, you're going to be like, okay, so Isaac and Jacob and the kids that come out of Abraham. Now watch, Paul self-critiques here. He goes, it does not say Abraham and to his offsprings, referring to all of his kids or many different people. You got to remember this promise to Abraham is that he'd be the father of many nations. The promise of God was made to Abraham and to his offspring, singular tense. He goes, it doesn't say his offsprings referring to many, but offspring, singular, referring to one. And to your offspring, who is, read it in your Bible, verse 16, who is Jesus Christ. So brilliant. Man, this is so powerful because this is what gives us hope, confidence, peace, and faith in crazy times like today. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago. Abraham wasn't a Hebrew. He wasn't a rule following. He didn't keep diets and festivals, religious obligations. He didn't follow circumcision laws. He was not a rule following faith guy. He was a guy that God made a promise to. And then God said, I'm going to extend that promise to your offspring. But he's not saying your natural children. He's talking about the offspring that would come through your lineage. And he says it right there at the end of verse 16, which is Christ. Then he says in verse 17, look, this is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years later, does not annul, it doesn't eliminate the promise, the covenant that was previously ratified by God. In other words, the law doesn't trump the promise that God made, that He's going to be with us, that He's going to live in us, that He's going to give us family dynamic and relationship because of our faith in Christ. Watch. The law does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make that promise void. Verse 18, for if the inheritance comes by law and rules and religion, then it no longer comes by a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So remember what the promise was. The promise was, Abraham, in you, all nations of the world will be blessed. So remember, relationship with God because you have faith and confidence in the gospel of Jesus. He says in verse 16, the offspring that would bring us this promise is Christ. So here's the deal. When you said yes to Jesus, you became a person of promise. You became a person that the promises of God that He gave to Abraham now belong to you. And you can believe Him that you're a son, you're a daughter, you're a child of the Most High God, and that His Spirit lives on the inside of you. So you can believe that the promises of God are for you because God made promises about you, and they're for you and about Himself. And He made these promises hundreds of years before anybody would be able to try to earn them through the law, through religion. I told you I'm getting my preach on. I can't hear you shouting, but I feel that you are. Come on, somebody. So God made some pretty big promises. As you read through this entire thing, you're going to see promise after promise after promise. And a lot of them came in the book of Genesis. So many of them to Abraham and to his son Isaac and to his grandson Jacob. God made some pretty big promises for us. And it's in times like now that we need to remember the promises of God. And listen, these are promises that don't get annulled. They don't get, like, God doesn't break those promises. They don't fail. And these are the promises that we need to remember in times like this. This is why I tell you to read your Bible, spend time in God's Word, because I want you to hear the promises that God has made, and it'll help you remember the God who made them. Which brings me back to my main point. I want you to remember what I said at the beginning of the message. Write it down again. God is a promise maker, so God is a promise keeper. So in times like this, all of us need to remember that God has made some powerful promises. And if He promised them, then we should believe them. Let me say that again. If God promised them, we should believe them. If God said it, we can believe it. If God declared some things over us, then those are the things we need to dwell on. Those are the things we need to keep our minds connected to. Some of us have this notion that the promises of God don't apply to me, or the promises of God are for the really spiritual people, or for pastors, or people who have read enough scripture, or give enough money, or who have figured out the right things to do or behave right. And maybe you think you don't qualify for the promises of God in your life because of sin or because you're not living up to God's standard. Remember, that's religion. That's religion telling you that. If you've said yes to Jesus, if you've said yes, you've put your faith in Christ, then all the promises are yours, you can have them. That's the reason we're preaching this series, is to set people free from those religious thoughts. Are any of us good enough? Are any of us perfect? None of us are good enough to deserve that God's Spirit would live in us. That's why Jesus came. He said, even while they're not good enough, I'm gonna go give my life for them, take the whole curse of the law. And God said, and then I'm gonna implant my Spirit into them. Man, this is so good. Listen to me. I want you to hear some of the promises of God, and then I'm gonna close. God loves you. God is for you. God gives you peace. God has good things in store for you. And listen, God's promised us this world is not all there is. Paul said it like this: if I'm gonna be in this body, I'm gonna live for God. If I'm gonna die, I'm gonna be with God. That's an incredible promise. The news says we're all gonna get infected. CNN says we're all gonna lose our money. The world's in total chaos. Our political system is failing. The news says the sky is falling. But there's an old adage for some church folks that you know this: whose report are you gonna believe? And I'll believe the report of the Lord. Now listen, it doesn't mean you bury your head in the sand. It means you live in this world, the brokenness that's all around us, with a confidence that a good God has made some good promises and we can believe it. The promise of this broken world is never stronger than the promises of our perfect God. I wanna just highlight a couple thoughts in Galatians 3 as we close. In verse 22, it says, the promise that we've received, that this is a promise by faith in Jesus, that it might be given to every one of us who believe. All the promises of God are yours if you've said yes to Christ. That's a lot of theological work Paul's doing here. And I'm telling you, you need to go back and study all of Galatians 3, but he's trying to disavow the Galatians of their religious efforts. He's really working hard to let them know God's promises are for us. God's promises are for us. We belong to Him, so these promises belong to us. And so that's where we come to with this talk. Listen, God has made some promises for us. And because He made them, He's gonna keep them. Remember, God's a promise maker, so God's a promise keeper. And because God promises to us, we need to now set our minds and set our mouths and set our hearts to focus on His promises. Believe Him for His promises. Trust the report that the Lord has made. And know that if God said it, it's gonna come to pass. So whose report are you gonna believe? The promise of our media and social media, or will you believe the promises of God? Hear me on this. God doesn't keep His promises to us because you've behaved well enough or because you deserve it. God keeps His promises to us because He's a promise keeper and because we belong to Him. You know, in Genesis 21, God made a promise that He sees us, that He's never not watching out for us. In Exodus chapter 3, God said that He is the I Am, the eternal one. He's before COVID, after COVID. He's ahead of it, behind it, inside it. He's bigger than anything. He's bigger than the stock market challenges. He is the great I Am, the eternal one. And Psalm 137 says, even in the darkest times, they're not dark to God. Genesis 17 says, God is the Almighty. Nothing is more powerful than God. In Exodus 15, it says, God is Jehovah Rapha, God who heals us. Genesis 22 says, God's our provider. He's our source, not our bank, not our business, not anything else in the world. Exodus 17 says, God covers us like a banner being flown and waved over us, that we've got a banner over us that says, this guy, this girl belongs to me. Psalm 23 says, God is our good shepherd. He is for us. We belong to Him. Hosea 2 says, God is our mate, not like an Australian, but like a spouse, like a husband or a wife. He's like the best, most faithful spouse ever. Judges 2 says, God is our peace. Philippians 4 says, the peace that God has is the peace that we have. I can go on and on and on about the promise promises of God. I'm asking you to believe that you are children of promise because God loves us, because God's presence is in us, because God's promises are to us and for us and with us. We have peace. We have mercy. We know that to be absent from this body is to be present with God Almighty Himself. Because of God's promises, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We're not defeated. We are worshipers. We're sons and daughters. We will survive this. Because of God's promise, we know that God is with us at all times. He's not hanging out on the back corners of heaven going, I don't want to watch what's happening here. It says if God is for us, then nothing can stand against us. Nothing can defeat us. We're loved by Him. We're not being punished by God. We belong to God. We're His forever. He's a promise maker, so He's a promise keeper. Man, I am so worked up. Just right now, I'm sweating thinking about this sermon. I wish right now I had 1,000 of you standing in front of me. Just somebody be shouting, saying amen. Listen, we've got to decide whose report we're going to believe. Don't walk in foolishness. Don't not do the things that are wise, but stop believing lies. Stop listening to broken promises. Stop believing you can work your way to God's blessing. Trust that His blessings and His promises are yes and amen. Open your Bible, read His promises, and live your life accordingly. Hey, I want to give you a couple thoughts as we end this, and I am done, for real. At the end of this chapter in verse 25, it says, now that faith has come, we're no longer under this guardian of a law and rules and religion, for in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus. If you've placed your faith in Christ, the promises of God are yours. In terrible times and wonderful times, they're all yours. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And look, it's for everybody, whether your religion, your gender, your economy, watch what he says. There's no more Jew and Greek divide. There's no more slave or free, no male or female. You're all one in Christ. And if you're Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and you are heirs to God's promise. Here's what all that means. All the promises of God are yours to have. All the promises of God are yours to believe in because you belong to Jesus. Not because you've earned it, not because you're of the right race, gender, or religion, but because God is so good. God earned it all for you so that you can live as promise keepers. How do you walk out of here from this message with this? Will you dig into the Word of God? Will you dig into the promises of God, the blessings of God? Will you remember the things He said? I want to challenge you with three ways to take this out and live it out. The first is stay in God's presence. Stay in God's Word every single day. Spend time in worship, prayer, study, and listen to what God's saying. Second, get in the presence of God's people. And I know we can't physically get there for most of us, but you can digitally connect to God's people. And I want to encourage you to do it at least twice a week. Do it as a small group. Do it as a church service on the weekend. Send a text, send a message. Zoom is your new life group host. So get in God's Word and presence every day. Get in the presence of God's people. And third, be a blessing to somebody all the time, every week. Here's the thing. One of the ways we embrace God's promise is become God's promise to someone else. It's the way God chooses to do it. He sends out His blessings through His body. He is a provider and He'll do it through you. He is an encourager and He'll encourage others through you. He is our strength and His strength in you will be strength and blessing to others. He is our peace and His peace is contagious as you're living in peace for God. Stay in His presence every day. Stay in connections with others throughout the week. And be a blessing to other people. I love you. I'm praying for you, LifePoint Church. I believe the best is still ahead of us. This year is going to be the best year. I'm just believing it. And we got to get through a lot. But I just believe with all my heart that God's a promise maker. And so God's a promise keeper. Let me pray for you. And I'll hand it back to our campus pastor. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you bring restoration, healing, hope, joy, and the promises of God to bear in the people of God today. Lord, let the mercies of God rise up in us. Let the joy of the Lord satisfy, strengthen, and build us today. In Jesus' name, we stand on the Word of God more than anything else. We want to hear what is being said around us, but we want to stand on what is being said by the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that our faith is built in Scripture, that our faith is built in prayer, our faith is built in the presence of the Lord. So God, we choose to believe the report of the Lord. We choose to believe the goodness of God. And as daughters and sons of the Most High God, we are heirs of all the promises of God because we've said yes to Jesus. So Lord, I just pray right now, if there's anybody watching who has not said yes to Jesus, and if that's you right now, I want to ask, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're watching, just slip your hand up. I don't even see it. So there's no, like, I'm going to call you out. I just want you right now to slip your hand up. And I do want you to maybe do something that's a little odd. If you would, on the keyboard in front of you, just say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to trust Jesus. And that means I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to go in with him. I want to be a son. I want to be a daughter and believe the promises of God for my whole life. And let me lead you and all the rest of us in our weekly prayer. But this is for you to say yes to Jesus. And we've got a simple next step for you. But come on, if you say, I want to trust Jesus, let us know right now. Type it in. And we celebrate and we rejoice with all of heaven for it right now. Everybody pray this for me. Say with me. Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for my sin, so I can live my life completely for him. I rejoice in you. I receive your salvation. I ask for your forgiveness. I accept it, and I will live my life for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody, give it up for Jesus, and thank you so much for being a part of this amazing Sunday at LifePoint Church.